A very good evening to everyone present here. I welcome you to Intern, which is a digital talk series on skill education. This digital talk series will take you on a short journey of introducing you to India's top leading industry innovators selected from across India. In this digital talk series, innovative topics, informative content, and progressive initiatives are being shared with you. We remain hopeful that the sessions, which was for 2 days and today being the second day, will inspire you to take your school community to a new direction of development. Ladies and gentlemen, as the world changes and economies along with it, the need for skill-based workforce is on the rise. In India, skill-based education is like vocational skill that is obtained through short-term training courses, not part of the formal education sector, and which provides employment in informal sectors. However, the current pandemic has advanced the use of local products and helped people recognize the importance of skilled people and workforce. It's also recognized the importance of a skill-driven society. Actual skill education is a combination of both formal and informal learning. Students being the human capital of the country, it is essential to empower them for the development of economy. Some of the benefits of skill-based education are flexibility, that means the learning lies in the hands of the owners, that is the learners, and the control in the hands of the students. It is also purpose-driven, that means the objectives of learning are clearly given. It is much beyond school grades. It connects education with real life, and it has a set of tangible experiences. In the current pandemic, there is an increase in the demand of areas covering sanitation, health, technology, and much more. Hence, skill-based sector will grow in times to come. My name is Pooja Bose, and I'm happy to be the moderator for the day. I'm the principal of the High Rain School, which is located in Munnar, amongst the tea plantation in Kerala. My school is managed by Tata Consumer Products Limited, and I bring with me years and years of experience in teaching, learning, and administration. It's my honor to be moderating today's session. And also, I'd like to welcome the first speaker for the day. I request all our audiences to immerse themselves in the session and hold their questions, which will be addressed right after the session. It's my honor to welcome Professor Vijay Raghavacharya, who joyously practices an immersive and experiential pedagogy for which he has been awarded the Teaching Excellence Award by IIT Delhi. He loves to transform the conventional role of teacher to that of co-learner, which enables the innate creativity and qualities of each element of the collective to be experienced and expressed. In addition to IIT Delhi, he is much loved by the students of BITS Pilani, IIT Kharagpur, and School of Planning and Architecture. Professor Charyar lovingly creates impact in water, sanitation, and well-being through IITD partnered ventures, Akam Eco Solutions, and Joyals U. He loves to co-create on discovering self joyously designing with empathy and appreciating natural abundance. We welcome you, Professor, and I invite you to share your views on the subject. Over to you. Please unmute yourself, Professor.
Thank you so much, Ms. Pooja Bose. It's lovely to be connecting with somebody who lives in a lot of nature, in a lot of greenery. I have been to Munnar and to Wayanad and to various places of Kerala. No wonder it's called God's own country. I wish to thank Deepankar and all the energies. I don't say all the people behind, I say all the energies associated with future school leaders for having me as part of this wonderful effort and initiative this Sunday in the middle of what appears to be very challenging times. But these challenging times are the times in which the best out of us comes out. You know, even for, you know, pearls to be formed at the bottom of the ocean, there is so much of pressure, there is so much of stress, and so much of beauty in childbirth, you know, which is a process of great pain. So as we go through this process of great pain, I would like to pray for everybody, for everybody's well-being, for everybody on this call and everybody outside of this call. You know, we are all living in an interconnected universe. And let's spend a few minutes to pray for, you know, relief from pain for every suffering individual on this planet. Because these are challenging times, and many of us have suffered either individually or as family or as society, community. So the more we can hold, you know, space in our heart for the pain that others are going through, I think that we make this world a little by little a better place, a little more better place. I would now like to share screen and present. I hope you're able to see my screen. I would request either
not audible,
Pooja ji or
no, sir. We, now we can see your screen. Yes. Visible now.
Fantastic. So I would like to call this small interaction as co-learning a joyous adventure. And I would like to introduce myself more than as an IIT Delhi faculty, more than as a founder of Ekam Eco and another well-being initiative which I call Joy's You. More than any of that, I would like to introduce myself to you all as a lifelong co-learner. And together with you all, including on this call, I would like to learn something, take back something, grow a little bit, learn a little bit. And this attitude of lifelong co-learning, I just simply enjoy carrying it into every space that I have been in. Whether it is BITS Pilani or IIT Kharagpur, the School of Planning and Architecture, Arizona State University, the Anant National University in Ahmedabad. And every time I walk in, I feel like a student. I have never walked into any of these classrooms feeling like somebody who knows answers. In fact, I like to enter these spaces saying that let's generate few more questions together. And this attitude of being a lifelong co-learner helps me to transform the teaching learning space into a space of caring and healing. The typical polarized classroom, many of us have gone through that, where there's an educator on one side and the learners on the other side, you know, behaving like oil and water. And then the struggle of learning, how to make this learning a possibility, how to make this learning a joyous possibility. So when one walks into this space as a lifelong co-learner, then one is actually able to transform this learning space into a wholesome space of oneness. Barriers are broken, structures that shackle are abandoned, and a new adventure of effortless co-learning can begin. In fact, one says in the process of learning, and there's a very old Sanskrit sloka which says, Acharyat Padamadatte Padam Shishya Swamedhaya Sab Brahmacharibhyah Padam Padam Kalakramenacha. That only 1/4 of all learning can be given to the co-learner by the teacher. 1/4 is by the co-learner's effort. 1/4 is from the effort of other co-learners in the cohort. And 1/4 is in the realm of time. So in that sense, how can any teacher call herself or himself completely learn it until he or she takes the last breath? So it is wonderful to be able to position oneself as a co-learner, because there is a lot of unlearning to do as well from time to time. In today's times, no one will deny that much more than being able to know and being able to do, one needs the skill, because in the Future Leaders program, there's a lot of focus on skill building. One needs the skill to be able to care and the skill to be able to heal. And can this caring and healing begin with caring and healing of others? Or does it indeed need to begin with caring and healing of oneself? In the journey of education and skill building, often the goal of education is mentioned as education for economic advantage. A lot of people have launched skill building programs, and these skill building programs are positioned as mechanisms to enable people to achieve success. But in the pursuit of education for economic advantage and skill building for success, somewhere as a collective, we seem to have got stuck in quicksand. And the more we strive to come out, the more the quicksand traps us. Because there is something in our framework which is preventing us from actually exiting the quicksand. Each year, we do graduate from every premier institution, some so-called, and I say so-called with a lot of responsibility, some so-called successful women and men. However, if we do some deep introspection and true sharing, it will reveal that these women and men at the top of the ladder could very easily be lonely. They have unaddressed guilt. They have deep fears and chronic anxiety. These so-called successful men, women, leaders lead a life of fragmentation, devoid of fulfillment. Throughout the process of education, we encouraged our young learners to dream, to aspire, to have high ambition, to think out of the box. And in the process, have we focused on supporting them to know themselves deeply? Have we focused on enabling themselves to care for themselves, to heal themselves? I would like you all to reflect for a moment on this question. But in the interest of time, my answer is probably not. For the last over 2 decades of teaching at institutes of higher education, I have repeatedly encountered high achievers who have achieved success in the conventional sense, and strangely, an overwhelming majority of these high achievers lacks a sense of fulfillment. They also lack a sense of integration. Their head says something, their heart says something else, their hands want to do a third thing. Their happiness is somewhere else, on somebody else's Instagram account. Something or the other is always missing that one is left craving for. There is an absence of wholesomeness that rankles, notwithstanding the posts of the amazing holiday destinations on Instagram and Facebook. What is it in their journey that their degrees, their huge paychecks, their awards, their corporate designations were unable to provide to them the taste of fulfillment and integration, without which their life is full of fear, anxiety, worry, and scarcity, nicely covered up by beautiful Instagram and Facebook accounts? I think the key word, what is missing in their journey, is empathy. For far too long, even though stalwarts in the realm of philosophy of education, such as Sri Aurobindo and the mother, exhorted us time and again to focus on the spirit in the body, systems of education, particularly mainstream education, chose to focus only and only on the mind in the body. Our education systems told us to innovate, but organizations that even which focused on excellence have tended to be fragmented. From childhood, one was taught, beta 95% marks lao, IIT me jao, life set hai. And this is what I call a fragmented worldview. And if the educator is holding a fragmented worldview, if parents are holding a fragmented worldview, if society at large is holding a perspective of come here, everything is less, do something more, promoting the perspective of scarcity, would it not be inevitable that the tender sapling also grows up to feel that nothing is enough? I need to always seek more, and I am not adequate. As educators, are we carrying a framework in which only 10% of the cohort are deemed to be successful? In doing so, what exactly do we communicate to the 90% of the cohort? When we look at nature, and let's look at some images from nature here, is not each blade of grass, each bush, each tree, each fern, each orchid, part of a great design in nature? Why is it that we only focus on some small aspect of the whole and keep celebrating the beauty of the successful breed? Does this approach have any empathy in it at all? And are not the microbe and the mammoth connected in a million ways? Is it not so that we celebrate the success of unicorns in terms of valuation in the stock market far more than the efforts of small groups to care in society, to wipe the tear from somebody who is distressed, to share the bread, to love unconditionally, and to heal deeply? Where does this lopsidedness come from? Is this a deep-rooted conditioning that we have in ourselves as parents and as educators and as people who are setting up governance systems in education? And for this, do we need a loving and caring detox? So we need mentors with ability to listen. We need investors who have a cultural fit with the process of teaching and learning, loving learning. For growth, we need to look at the much larger picture than just the grades that one secures in mathematics and science. To create impact in the space of education, we need a tremendous amount of patience. And most of all, we need an impersonal vision. Educators today need to have a vision much larger than themselves. It is not possible to keep themselves separate from the learner and position themselves that learner is somebody else and I am somebody else. There is a bond, there is an interconnected web that we need to really visualize and respect. Most importantly, for educators and for co-learners, it's important to be trusting the process, to be joyful. As educators, are we prepared to embrace the framework of unlearning? Because unlearning of faulty assumptions which I carry in my life is so essential to original thinking and discovery. We say we are on a journey of learning. My question is not the ability to unlearn central to the project of learning anything new? And here I present 5 ingredients to enable all our co-learners, including the teachers and the students in the classroom, to experience fulfillment and integration. It is not possible by only focusing on the intellectual faculty of thinking. One needs to integrate the 5 dimensions of physical, mental, emotional, and the inner dimension. And there needs to be these attributes of confidence, cooperation, clarity, commitment, and congruency. A joyous being flows in an integrated manner. It doesn't matter if he's in the bottom 10% of the cohort she or he learns to trust, feels conviction and abundance, thinks innovatively, speaks in an inspirational manner, and all the actions that flow from a joyous, integrated being are complete and beautiful acts. So these are some elements of an integrated being. In the physical space, they are confident. In the mental space, there is clarity. There is a lot of commitment, caring, and healing in the emotional domain. The integrated being always cooperates and looks for larger projects to create impact, and there is congruency within, there is no conflict within. So we need to look at elements. What are these elements we need to discover? And it has been my experience that the more I am able to practice empathy, see the interconnectedness and diversity both within the learning space and the linkage to society at large, I am able to discover, I am able to innovate in the process of learning, I am able to unearth the natural self within the child or the co-learner, cultivate deeply the values of listening, tranquility, and introspection, and abandon these false beliefs or myths about peace. The habits for peace that then one is able to cultivate is meditation, relaxation, and contemplation. And it is necessary to practice these in every learning space. I am able to practice unearthing the natural leader within the child with associated values of positivity, joy, abundance, celebration, and leadership. And therefore, co-learners are able to distinguish true happiness from carnal pressures and heightened excitement. I can always then connect to my happy natural state and experience permanent happiness. I can abandon the false assumptions and beliefs and myths about joy. The habits for joy are acceptance and attitude of gratitude, impersonal service or seva, and inspirational work. Using this methodology of unlearning, I am able to untie the natural communicator within the child or the co-learner with associated values of kindness, respect, oneness, sharing, caring, inclusivity, and trust. And as a result, love increases by giving love, not by receiving or demanding it. So we need to blur the boundaries between the teacher and the student. We are all one. The very fault in the thought that the fault is with others is faulty. So we can abandon these false assumptions that getting is more important than giving, and it's difficult to stay committed to relationships, etc. So the habits for love are giving, forgiving, and appreciating. And finally, we are able to then unlock the natural innovator within the child or co-learner, with associated values of innovation, growth, focus, continuous improvement, and insight. And therefore, all co-learners realize that creation and creativity is our very nature. And so is success. And the only problem is to consider problems as problems. And these are some myths about creativity. And many people and many educators falsely enforce these myths about creativity on learners and actually make big roadblocks in their way to success. So habits for creativity are challenging assumptions, generating alternatives, and breaking limitations. Finally, the key virtue is expression, to cover the natural achiever within the child with associated values of responsibility, courage, honesty, and communication. With the wisdom principle, my confidence and expression is determined by my self-image and not by my looks, or the color of my skin, or the way I speak. Communication and fearless communication is the outcome of an effortless expression of the self. So it's very critical for us to go beyond the intellectual apparatus, to be able to perceive and to sense, to develop new vision, to see the subtle, the unseen, the intangible, to develop a deep sense of empathy, connect with something far greater than oneself, sense one's connection with the relationship, with the world of users, with their feelings, with their ideas, with their values, their experiences, with things that they deeply care about. Understand interconnectedness and diversity. In every classroom, there is so much of diversity. And when we design for diversity, we ensure a much larger satisfied customer base, reduced returns and servicing, increased brand reputation. So we need to focus our education systems on listening, learning, and ideating. The key focus is the teacher as a deep listener, as a co-learner. And we need to let go of these false beliefs about expression We need to develop facing the fear and stepping out of one's comfort zone. Follow a four-step practice of enjoy the process of learning, in fact, of co-learning. Accept what may be currently unpleasant. The uncooperative student. Can we accept it that there is a student who's uncooperative? That means that it calls for probably something more innovative in me to get him to be engaged in the classroom. Sip the inner silence rather than make the mind noisy. Can I sip my inner silence? And can I evolve to integration at the level of being? So this is a four-step process, which I call the ease framework. Enjoy the process, accept what is currently unpleasant, sip the inner silence, and evolve to integration at the level of being. So joyous leadership is all about teaching the intuitive mind, taming the noisy mind, and passing testing situations in life. So we need to follow this four-step process, another four-step process of unlearning, discovering, experiencing, and transforming. So can an educator be a friend of every learner in her classroom? This requires a deep introspection, which will probably culminate in an understanding that the educator is on a journey herself. The journey of the educator at any point of time is far from complete. And every co-learner who walks into her space can help her to unlearn a little more, to discover a little more, to experience and sense a little more, and to transform oneself every single day. This calls for great courage, because one would have to make a deep connect with each co-learner, perceive and sense the unique qualities which need gentle care, just like a gardener would tend to every diverse flower bearing plant in her garden. Therefore, for me, to educate a child or a learner will always be to educate myself. And this reorientation of my role as a friend, as a co-learner, and as someone who cares deeply enables me to support far more learning than by positioning myself as someone who knows everything, as a know-it-all, as someone who will judge, as someone who will evaluate mercilessly, as someone who is ruthless and sterile, someone who is devoid of feelings and emotions. Positioning myself as co-learner has always shifted me into a zone of freedom where resources are infinite, frugal innovations are possible, where the learner becomes a willing traveler and contributor in the adventure. And each one of us in the collective need to do far, far less. And the end result is we together achieve a far more magical outcome. The difference was because we approached the process with a dose of unconditional love. May I invite you all to this adventure of co-learning, in which you can co-create, discover self joyously. You can design with empathy and appreciate the natural abundance within. Welcome to the adventure. Gratitude for your time. I'm happy to listen to adventures of fellow travelers. May you all transform from status quo to infinite potential. Gratitude.
Thank you so much, Professor Vijay Raghavan. You introduced us to so many new, I won't say they are new terms. We've heard these terms before, but the way you've connected them with each other, creating a, you know, like a necklace of experiences, which are so unique, probably we've never thought that you think could be so much of an adventure, or, you know, it would be a relationship of discovering, unlearning, relearning. So that this is something, I would say it's like a food for thought. I know that you've just touched the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot which needs to be understood beyond what you have just spoken about.